Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of TechNet Radio in our Build Your Hybrid Cloud series. We're on episode 16 today of our series. And my name is Keith Mayer. I'm a senior technical evangelist at Microsoft in our USDX organization. And back with me today, I have my good friend in the virtualization and cloud world, Andy Serwich. Hey, Andy. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, not a problem. Thanks for having me, Keith.
Great. Well, do you want to give everyone a quick bit of background on yourself, Andy, and let them know where you're from and what you're doing these days in the virtualization and cloud space?
Sure. So again, my name is Andy Serwich. I actually work for a services provider based in the Grand Rapids, Michigan area named Trivalent Group. And Trivalent Group provides products and services to help customers manage, access, protect, and store their data. And my primary role there these days is senior cloud services engineer. So, you know, I'm dealing with cloud solutions all day, every day, on the VMware side and a little bit on the Azure and the Hyper-V side as well. So,
wow, that's great. That's great. And you're also one of our Microsoft MVPs for Hyper-V, I hear,
that's
right?
That's true. Yep.
Great. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Well, Andy, along through our series, we've gone through the process of using Azure Pack to build an on-premises private cloud, and then connecting that through site-to-site connectivity and ExpressRoute and whatnot out to the Microsoft Azure public cloud as an extension of an organization's on-premises data center. And we've looked at ways of consistently being able to manage and automate with PowerShell and service management automation, SMA. What's next from your standpoint? What do you think we should show everybody as the next step in being able to leverage this hybrid cloud environment?
Well, I think one thing that we haven't really done is let's actually move something there. Let's take one of our existing workloads and actually move it up into Azure.
Yeah, no, that's a great idea. What are some of the challenges that that you're seeing with migrating workloads into the cloud?
Well, the big thing is time, you know. It takes time to copy all that stuff across the wire, you know, especially if it's a particularly large workload. You know, the other thing is downtime. You have to coordinate some sort of outage window, and the longer it takes to copy that workload, the longer the outage is. So that's definitely always a concern, you know, at least for the customers I work with.
Yeah, definitely. I know a lot of customers have applications that have huge data sets, you know, hundreds of gigs or maybe even a few terabytes in size.
Yep.
And we do have some options for high-speed connectivity, right, that we've talked about in prior episodes. You can certainly do site-to-site VPN over a public internet connection, but if the amount of data you're trying to copy outstrips that, we've got ExpressRoute as an option for being able to establish more of a high-speed, low-latency private connection into Azure over fiber, over MPLS wide area networking. And then we do have the import-export options as well in Azure to be able to export a bunch of data off to disk and be able to ship it through a courier service, a secure bonded courier over to an Azure data center and have it imported into your subscription. But you're absolutely right. At the end of the day, it's all about downtime, right? And not having downtime or as little as possible downtime when we're migrating to a public cloud platform like Azure from our on-premises environment. So definitely, that's something that we should talk about today. The other area that I see is that, you know, although we've got a great solution in the private cloud with Hyper-V and System Center and Azure Pack, there's probably still a significant number of opportunities out there to migrate other platforms over to the public cloud as well, right? It could be VMware, it could be Amazon AWS maybe, or maybe it is Hyper-V, or maybe it's a customer that has physical servers as well. Is that an area that you're still seeing a lot of interest? Migrating directly from, say, a VMware or Amazon or Hyper-V or physical server environment directly into Azure. Do you see a lot of interest in that?
Oh, yeah, definitely see a lot of interest in that because, you know, stuff really primarily started over on the VMware side. At least a lot of the folks that I've talked to and the IT pros I've talked to have started on the VMware side. And you see some smattering of AWS in there as well. So, I mean, really, we got these workloads all over the place because there's been a lot of uncertainty in the market, right, as to what the big, you know, McLaren F1 public cloud service is going to be. So obviously that's Azure, right? But you got these workloads all over the place. So definitely if there was some tool that allowed us to do some sort of migration directly up into Azure, that would certainly make all of our lives easier.
Yeah, definitely. And you hit on a good point. A lot of organizations are pursuing multi-hypervisor strategies in their on-premises data center. So when they're looking to migrate to the cloud, it might be a combination of that. They might have a few physical servers. They might have some workloads running on Hyper-V, some workloads still running on VMware. And like you said, maybe they've dipped their toe a little bit into the cloud already. Maybe they're running a couple VMs up in AWS or other cloud platforms as well. And in some of the resources that are currently available out on Microsoft Virtual Academy and whatnot, there's some great courses for looking at tools like MVMC and Disk to VHD and PowerShell, free tools that you can use together to do migrations from some of those platforms directly to Azure. But you're right, at the end of the day, if it's a large organization, having a consistent tool that allows us to bring in all of those source locations, whether they're physical servers, whether they're Hyper-V, VMware, AWS, into one central migration tool, and then being able to plan our migrations from there and have it occur in a way that eliminates or at least minimizes the downtime during the migration. Right. Seems like it's a cool piece. And recently, I don't know if you saw the recent announcement, Andy. Recently, our Azure team announced the limited preview of the Microsoft Migration Accelerator for Azure. Have you had a chance to play around with the accelerator yet?
I haven't had a chance specifically to get my hands on it yet. I've definitely read about it and, you know, saw the release about it and everything. Really looks like a cool tool.
Yeah, it's pretty slick. And I've had a chance to do some initial early testing in the limited preview of it. The way that it helps to address that data issue, having large data sets that you're trying to migrate up to the cloud, mm-hmm. is through pre-migration replication. So essentially, you connect to your Azure subscription, and you pre-replicate all of your VMs or physical servers, both the operating system as well as the data disks that you ultimately want to migrate. And that pre-replication can happen live during the business day. It doesn't have to wait for downtime for that. And then once the replication initially happens to get your initial copy of those servers up in the cloud, it then does a continuous replication behind that to keep them in sync, so that they're constantly being synced up to what's happening on premises, waiting for you to declare your migration. And during your migration period then, really what's happening is it's taking the latest copy of that replicated data, provisioning VMs in a virtual network in Azure with it, and allowing you to quickly cut over to those virtual machines. So it's really a pretty slick tool for being able to help large organizations migrate virtual machines or servers from lots of different source locations and minimize that migration downtime, even with large data sets.
Sounds like a slick tool. I mean, to me, it kind of almost sounds like DFS replication, but for whole VMs, right? I mean, mm-hmm. that's kind of what it reminds me of, just you know, from reading about it and talking with you about it.
It's a similar approach in concept, right? Of you're using DFS to migrate files, or pre-replicate it first and then point over to that location. The replication technology, the algorithms that it uses for the replication is a bit more tuned towards VM replication and looking at replicating only changed blocks and compressing it and sending it over an encrypted firewall-friendly connection. So MMA is a bit better tuned for this type of migration. But right. Yeah, you're right. In concept, it is strikingly similar to the concepts that we've used in the past with traditional file server replication.
Yep. So I guess then the next question is, you know, how do I set it up? You know, is it a really involved setup, or is it fairly simple?
That's a great question. Yeah, it's fairly simple. And the other thing that I like about it is the setup is pretty non-intrusive. It all starts from a central portal, the Microsoft Migration Accelerator portal, that you can access over a standard SSL connection. You log in with your admin credentials, and then you use that portal to connect to your Azure subscription, and also to connect with a couple VMs that you have to set up in Azure for the migration to work effectively over an internet connection. There's a config server VM, and there's a master target VM. The config server VM handles working with your on-premises or cloud source VMs or servers to get things kicked off and get your replication configured and whatnot. And then the master target acts as a receiving point for all of that initial and ongoing replication until migration. So the cool thing is that until you migrate, you only have a couple VMs that are running up in Azure. And then once you migrate, that's when all those other VMs are provisioned from the replicated copy of your data. So it can be pretty cost effective. Now, down in the on-premises world or in your source location, because your source location could be up in the cloud as well, you could be migrating from AWS to Azure, for instance. There's also a third component that runs as a virtual machine called the process server. The process server is the component in your source environment that receives the configuration and is responsible for fanning out to the servers, physical or virtual, that you're looking to migrate. It initially pushes out a migration agent called the mobility services agent, and then it helps to coordinate the replication by having that replication data go through the process server and then up through an SSL tunnel out to your Azure cloud where the master target's running. And then once the migration cutover happens, boom, the master target server is used to provision those individual VMs with its data that's been replicated up to date, and you now have your environment running up in the Azure cloud. So the initial replication can take a little bit of time depending on data set and the speed and latency on your internet connection. But the cool thing is all that initial replication can happen during the day. You don't have to take anything down in your environment for the initial replication to work. And the migration window then is really just that short period of time where the latest copies are being used to spin up new VMs in your Azure environment.
Which really, in the grand scheme of things, doesn't take all that long. You know, it's not like you're waiting for terabytes of data to copy. So, you know, the approach is really efficient, it seems.
Yeah, definitely. It's minutes, really, to spin those VMs up with the latest replicated copies rather than hours or days or weeks in some cases, depending on how much data and and how fast your connection into Azure is.
Yeah, that sounds great. It really sounds like a great tool.
Cool. Well, what do you think? Does it make sense to move over into the lab and kind of walk through the steps of using the Microsoft Migration Accelerator to migrate from VMware and AWS and physical servers and Hyper-V out to the Azure cloud?
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay. I'll see you over in the lab in a few minutes.
Okay.
So, hey, Andy, here we are over looking at the Microsoft Migration Accelerator portal that we were just talking about. And you'll see in this portal under our Cloud Services tab, we've got already registered a bunch of different source locations, Amazon AWS, VMware vCenter on-premises, some physical servers on-premises, Hyper-V hosts and whatnot. And so the next step in moving forward is we would want to first tie this into our Azure subscription so that it has a target location. And then if we had additional source locations, we could add those in and force it to discover servers that we have out on AWS and whatnot. So as we step through this, if I click up on this Cloud Services tab, you'll see that there's a pull-down menu and I have a protection option or a migration option. So initially, we're going to use the protection option. And on the Cloud tab that you see here, I already have my Azure subscription added in. What I essentially did is I went over to this button bar, clicked on Add for adding a new Azure subscription. And what that does is that brings up an Add Cloud Azure Account dialog that allows me to specify a descriptive name for my Azure subscription and then also plug in the subscription ID that would come off the Azure Management Portal on the settings page. That's the unique identifier for my subscription. And then also generate a certificate. What this is going to do when I click the Save button, it's actually going to generate a public and private key certificate. It'll store that public and private key for me on the portal, and then it'll also give me a file that has the certificate information that I can upload to Azure so that there's a common certificate path between this tool and my Azure subscription for authenticating. So I get that subscription file, and then over in my Azure Management Portal, I drill down to the settings page, And on the settings page, I'd simply upload that certificate using the upload button down at the bottom. And that way it would appear as one of the certificates in my list that can be used to authenticate to my Azure subscription. Now that I've done that, back over on the Accelerator portal, the MMA portal, I'd go back to that protection tab again. And on that protection tab, on my primary tab, I can register all of those different source locations that we saw a bit earlier when we were looking at the homepage of the portal. So I've got different buttons for registering AWS, for registering Windows Hyper-V hosts, for registering vCenter or vCloud hosts, physical servers or whatnot. And I would just click on the appropriate buttons to add in those servers. So if I click on, for instance, adding a new physical server or a vCenter server, that's what populates that list that we were looking at a little earlier. It'll ask me for, based on the type of source location I specify, it'll ask me for the IP address or hostname information and the credentials for logging in to that source location. And then for AWS, for vCenter, for vSphere, for Hyper-V, it'll actually discover for me all of the virtual machines that are currently running under any of those source locations and populate the list so that I can see whether they're Windows virtual machines and whether they're VMs or physical servers or whatnot, all on the same page. So once I've got that set up, then I'm ready to go down to that list of servers, select them, and enable them for protection. So I'm going to select a few of the servers that we saw on that prior page. And on this server selection list, I'm going to click on install mobility service button. The install mobility service button comes before we actually start protecting them because we need to install that agent that we looked at in the earlier architectural diagram when we were talking through that. So when I click on install mobility service, well, that gives me a dialog box that allows me to install this service for protecting those servers. So I'll go ahead and specify some information like my domain name and admin user account that can log into those servers through that process server that's running on premises that we saw in the architectural diagram. So this is just my normal Active Directory username and an account that has admin access to those servers and the password. When I enter it up at the top, it'll automatically fill that in consistently for all my servers, but I can still click on any of those individual servers if I needed to vary the credentials on a server-by-server basis. Once I've done that, go ahead and click the install button, and it goes through the process of installing those servers. So here I've selected a subset of those servers, just a few of them. Based on my little blue icons here, we can see the mobility service is the agent is installed and reporting back to our portal. And now for these servers, if I wanted to get them replicated up to Azure, now I can click on that protect button that we were talking about a little earlier. And when I do that, it'll ask me for several protection options to associate with the replication configuration of these source servers replicating to Azure. So up at the top of my replication options, my protection options screen, I can specify a replication policy that allows me to specify, do I want compression or do I not want compression? It also allows me to specify my Azure location. I could have multiple Azure subscriptions. So here I'm specifying the name of the Azure subscription that I previously registered in the migration portal. And inside that subscription, the configuration server that we built as one of those two components that runs up in Azure that handles all of the configuration tasks for getting replication configured and whatnot and talking with the portal and in talking with the process server on premises. Then, for each of those source systems that I said I wanted to replicate, I can specify my master target up in Azure, I can specify the storage account, and I can specify the process server on premises that's used for connecting back to those source servers. Again, this master target server and this process server, master targets in Azure, process servers on premises, they have an SSL connection between them that all of this replication traffic will be tunneled through from on-premises directly up to your isolated Azure subscription. Once I've filled in those properties then, all that's left is to click on the activate button and wait. It'll automatically kick off the replication configuration tasks through the config server on premises, back to the process server, back to the source systems. Those source systems will start replicating back to the process server up to the master target. And over on the main dashboard of my portal, I can check on my status. So I'll see once everything is replicated and in sync, I'll see on my main dashboard that I've got three servers that are healthy, and I can verify what those three servers are. So it's the three servers that I previously enabled, activated for protection. So that took a little while, took a few hours based on my connection and the amount of data. So we didn't have to, for the purposes of our demo, we didn't have to wait for our replication to finish. Now that my servers are healthy and they're in sync up in Azure in a synchronized copy that's sitting on the my Azure storage account that master target server is talking to, now I can go back over to my portal, back to that cloud services tab, and now I can click on that migration button. The migration option gives me the ability then to select the servers that I've protected that I now wish to cut over to Azure, that I now wish to migrate to Azure. So when I select those servers, that'll populate my list of servers that I wish to migrate. I click on the migrate button. That opens up a new window of options for migration options. So one of the things that we can select as part of this migration is a recovery point. So it's going to default to using the latest replicated copy of each VM, but in some cases you may want to use a recovery point that's a little older than that if you had a particular point in time that you wanted to cut over all of these virtual machines to up to Azure. In addition, as part of the migration up to Azure, we can select a set of options to specify the Azure Cloud Service, the Azure virtual network that we want these new VMs to be spun up on, the actual subnet, and then for virtual machines that need to be accessible directly to the internet, maybe they're running a web application that we want to make sure is open to the internet, we can specify endpoints, firewall endpoints, that should also automatically be configured. So as we look through our VMs, for instance, maybe for my web VM, for instance, I can go ahead and edit the configuration of that web VM and specify endpoints for opening up HTTP or HTTPS traffic. As I'm editing each of these servers, I also have the option of setting a migration order. So you'll see in this case, we've got an order to specify my file server, my database server, and then my web server as the order that those VMs should come online during the migration. That's really cool because it allows me to make sure that my core infrastructural servers, in this case the file server and the database server, that are providing data to that web application, they come up first, and then my web application is migrated last once the data is in place. Once I've got all those options in place, I can click my activate button, and in a few moments you'll start seeing activity in our Azure subscription where VMs will start getting automatically provisioned on the virtual network that we've specified. The virtual hard disks that have been replicated will get attached to those VMs. The endpoints will be open. And once that process is completed, over on our Azure portal, we'll be able to log into the Azure portal, click on our virtual machines page, and over under virtual machines, we'll see the original config server and master target server that we're running for the migration, but we'll also see new VMs for all three of the VMs that in this case we've migrated over. So now they're all running up in Azure and we've completed the migration process. Well, Andy, what do you think? Did that process look pretty smooth as we went along?
You know, a lot of customers I talk to and a lot of the engineers I talk to, they always say one of their big concerns with any cloud platform is, how the heck do I get my stuff there? Well, you guys just took all the work out of it. I mean, really, it's once you got all your ducks in a row, it's literally a couple of clicks. I can't complain about that at all. I mean, it looks like a really powerful tool and just absolutely takes all the work out of it.
Yeah, as I was stepping through testing the tool, I was pleasantly surprised at how seamless everything was in allowing the replication and the migration to complete in a manner that allows organizations to bring up those applications in Azure, even if they have huge data sets, even if they're coming from lots of different source locations, very quickly with a very, very small migration window. Well, what do you say?
I was going to say, I think that's the, really the important point is it doesn't matter where the workload is. I mean, the tool can do it. So, you know, it just takes all the work out of migrating, which is, I'm really blown away by the tool, quite honestly.
Great. Well, that's great feedback. Thanks for sharing that. Well, what do you say, Andy? Does it make sense to head back to the office and finish up our talk today?
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay, I'll see you back there. Well, Andy, I think today was migration day for us in the hybrid cloud, and we walked through using the new Microsoft Migration Accelerator to seamlessly automate and orchestrate the migration of some key workloads with potentially really large data sets from lots of different sources, VMware, Amazon AWS, Hyper-V, physical servers even, out to the Azure cloud. I really appreciate you joining us today, and thanks for sharing your insight as we go along with what you're hearing around the cloud.
Oh yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me. I can't wait to go get my hands on the tool. Actually, I think that's what I'm going to be doing this weekend.
Sure thing. And actually, if you're interested, for those that are listening, if you're interested in finding out more details about that tool, you'll find over on my blog, linked down at the bottom of the page, an article that steps you through much of what you saw today, along with links to how you can sign up for the limited preview of the Microsoft Migration Accelerator that's currently available to customers and organizations here in North America. So be sure to check that out. In addition to that, down at the bottom of the page, you'll find some other great hybrid cloud resources, though. We've got a link to Andy's blog, and Andy's got some great articles that he's in the process of publishing on PowerShell DSC, desired yep. state configuration. And so hopefully in one of our upcoming episodes, Andy will be back to share some of that DSC goodness with us.
Oh, yeah, that's lots of good stuff there. Great topic.
Great. And then certainly for learning more about migrating and managing hybrid clouds, out on Microsoft Virtual Academy, there's some great courses out there. There's a new course that was just published on migrating Amazon AWS workloads to Microsoft Azure. There's another great course that talks about migrating VMware to Hyper-V and Azure as well. So if you're looking for more depth on our migration tool offerings, be sure to check out those courses. And certainly, as you move forward, we've also got some guided labs that you can actually step through some of these migration processes yourself without having to go through setting up your own lab environment. So that's a pretty cool option to get a little bit more hands-on with some of the tools. And certainly, if you're interested in getting certified on hybrid cloud, be sure to check out Early Experts at earlyexperts.net. We've got some great study communities that Andy and I have been participating in to help IT pros across the world, really, get certified in our virtualization stack, get certified in System Center, and get up to speed as an early expert in hybrid cloud. So be sure to check out those great resources between now and the next time we get together on TechNet Radio. Thanks, everybody, for joining us today. Hope to see you on a future episode of Build Your Hybrid Cloud.